young man was at the grocery store just to get a few items. And as he was going along, he noticed that a little old lady was following him. It was a little odd, but he just ignored her and he kept going. And when it got time to get in line at the cash register, well, the lady jumped in front of him. And she said, "Pardon me, sonny, sorry if I made you uncomfortable by staring at you, but it's just that you look so much like my son, whom I haven't seen in such a long, long time." "Oh, that's a shame," he said. "Is there anything I can do for you?" "As a matter of fact," she said, "there is. When I'm leaving, can you just say goodbye, Mother? Oh, it'd make me feel so much better." Okay, yeah, I guess I could do that." And so, sure enough, when she left, he said, "Goodbye, Mother," and she waved and blew him a kiss, and she left. Well, when he got up to pay, it was $127. And he said, "Well, what's the deal? It was just a few items." The cashier said, "Well, your mother said that you'd pay for her." Happy Mother's Day. Maybe you've seen this online. Things mom would never say. They never say. "How on earth can you see the TV sitting so far back?" "Yeah, I used to skip school a lot too. If everyone else is doing it, I guess it's okay." "Go ahead and leave the lights on. It makes the house look more cheery." "Let me smell that shirt. Yeah, it's good for another week." "Don't worry about your homework. There'll be plenty of time to do it later." "Go ahead and keep that stray dog, honey. I'll be glad to feed and walk him every day." "Well, if Johnny's mom says it's okay, that's good enough for me." "The curfew is just a general time to shoot for. It's not like I'm running a prison here." "I don't have a tissue on me. Just use your sleeve." "You're right. You don't have enough clothes. Here's my credit card." "If you can't say something nice about a person, text it." "Those starving children in Ethiopia, they probably wouldn't eat this either." "If you don't stop crying, I'm going to give in and give you anything you want." And here's one that really communicates to me. "Don't bother wearing a jacket. The wind chill is bound to improve." Well, I came across this article, maybe you did as well, called "Mom of the Year, Mother Spider Feeds Self to Babies." Now, they have discovered this desert spider that actually feeds herself to her young right after they're hatched. And the article said, "In the end, the mother has given all but 4% of her body mass to her young, who leave her heart alone. I have read of mothers sacrificing their lives for their children." Well, this is a whole other level. Well, I'm very happy to live in a country that celebrates mothers, where mothers are honored. And we celebrate Mother's Day to show respect to one of, if not the most influential person in our lives. And yes, there are some, for whatever reason, they never had a chance to be a mother. There are others where their mother wasn't there, or maybe their mother wasn't all that nice. Maybe she was like the grocery store mother in that story. But for many of us, besides being formed in her womb, and without mothers, none of us would be here, well, we've usually spent our most formative years with our mother. And we have many fond memories, very close connection to her. And for us, mothers, well, they are our chauffeurs. Mothers are disciplinarians. Mothers are janitors. Mothers are gardeners. Mothers are cooks. Mothers are entertainers. Mothers are bodyguards. Mothers are photographers. Mothers are hairdressers. Mothers are coaches and cheerleaders. Mothers are nurses and doctors. Mothers are psychologists and counselors, and on and on. Mothers are, they're all these things for us, and often so much more. And how many times do we find great men and women who became great because of the influence of a godly mother? How many times do we find the presidents of the United States, well, where they are giving credits to their mothers? You know, looking at the Bible, we find that behind Moses was Jochebed, and behind Samuel was Hannah. Behind John the Baptist was Elizabeth, and behind Timothy was Eunice, and so forth. I truly believe that saying, that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. See, what our country is going to be in 20, 30, 40 years depends so much on the mothers of today. And so in the United States, we celebrate Mother's Day. So let me just give you a quick history. And no, Mother's Day was not invented by the folks at Hallmark. Well, a form of Mother's Day was first suggested in 1870 by Julia Ward Howe. And she's the one who wrote the lyrics to the Battle Hymn of the Republic. Well, in 1907, Anna Marie Jarvis of Philadelphia started the campaign to honor mothers. And that was shortly after she lost her mother, after her own mother died. In 1910, West Virginia became the first state to recognize Mother's Day. And in 1914, President Woodrow Wilson officially proclaimed Mother's Day a national holiday for the second Sunday of May. And he established the day as a time for, quote, public expression of our love and reverence for the mothers of our country. And then in 1923, Anna Marie Jarvis filed a lawsuit to stop Mother's Day. She'd become disappointed with the commercialization of it. And she complained, I wanted it to be a day of sentiment, not profit. And she was even arrested one time for disturbing the peace at a Mother's Day celebration. But as you can see, she didn't get it stopped. Well, today, of course, we normally give flowers, we give cards, we give small gifts on Mother's Day. And I read that in the United States, we spend over $20 billion on this holiday. And for many restaurants, well, this is the busiest day of the year for them. I think that's great. But from a biblical perspective, well, mothers deserve more than that. And so what I want to do is point out four things that we find in Scripture. So what mothers deserve. First, obedience. And this is specifically for when we live under her roof. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 20. My son, observe the commandment of your father. Do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Not for they are always right, but for this is right. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. See, in all things, whether you like it or not. We find that when Jesus was 12, well, he obeyed his mother in Luke chapter 2 and verse 51. And so are we giving our mothers the obedience they deserve? Well, the next thing is respect. And you remember the fifth of the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which your Lord God gives you. In Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 20, a wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish son despises his mother. In Proverbs 23, 22, listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. In Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 11, it says with a very negative tone, there is a kind of man who curses his father and does not bless his mother. And later talks about the eye that mocks a father and scorns a mother in verse 17. Proverbs 31, it speaks of the woman whose children rise up and bless her. And yeah, she earned it, but it was important for them to show their respect. In 1 Kings 19, 20, Elisha, he wanted to make sure that he kissed his father and mother before following Elijah. And Ephesians chapter 6, verses 2 and 3, quoting Exodus 20, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. So are we giving our mothers the respect they deserve? And then, righteousness. You really want to make your mother proud. Well, make wise decisions and live a righteous life. Proverbs 10:1, a wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish son is a grief to his mother. Proverbs 23, verses 24 and 25, the father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. and he who begets a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her rejoice who gave birth to you. And so one of the best ways to honor our mothers is by growing into the kind of men and women that they'd want us to be. Oh, mothers, they worry enough about us without having to give them unnecessary grief and extra reasons to worry. So are we giving our mothers the righteousness they deserve? And finally, care. We need to take care of our mothers in their old age. 1 Timothy 5:4. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to practice piety in regard to their own family and to make some return to their parents. For this is acceptable in the sight of God. Your parents took care of you when you were young, and so you're supposed to take care of them when they're old. Paul said that's a way to practice our religion. 1 Timothy 5:8. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Because you see, even unbelievers take care of their families. Matthew 15 and Mark chapter 7. Jesus, he rebuked those who would try to get around the law of honoring your father and mother, and specifically of taking care of them in their old age. And of course, we find that he made sure that his mother would be taken care of after he was gone in John 19, verses 26 and 27, while on the cross. And so our mothers, they deserve the best care that we're able to give them when they get old. Are we giving our mothers the care they deserve? So here's the question. Why do they deserve those things? Well, there are three qualities or characteristics of mothers that really jump out to me. And that's gentleness, protection, and guidance. So first, for their gentleness. If you would grab a Bible, let's turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 in the New Testament. Let's take a look at this illustration used there by the Apostle Paul. It sounds like there were some who were slandering them and trying to turn the Thessalonians away from the apostles and their teachings. So let's read 1 Thessalonians 2, 5 through 9. For whatever came with flattering speech, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed, God is witness, nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, even though as apostles of Christ, we might have asserted our authority. But we proved gentle among you, here it is, as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children. Having so fond an affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become very dear to us. For you recall, brethren, our labor and hardship, how working night and day so as not to be a burden to any of you, we proclaim to you the gospel of God. And he went on. Now, of all of the illustrations in the world that he could have used for gentleness, what did he choose? He chose a mother. I find it interesting. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, Paul said, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." And in Colossians 3:21, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children that they may not lose heart." He only mentioned fathers. Why? Because they're the ones who need that admonition. Mothers are generally the ones who are more gentle. Now, when a child gets hurt, they usually run to their mother. Why is that? Because their mother's going to give them comfort, and their father is probably just going to say, "Get back out there and try it again." Second, for their protection. Now, think about this. What is the worst thing that you can find in the woods? That is a baby mountain lion or a baby bear, and you're not worried about the baby. I have been dive bombed by angry mother birds. I've seen a video of a mother bird pretending to be hurt to lure a predator away from her children. I've even seen a video of a mother rabbit attacking a large snake that was after her babies, and so forth. Well, a human mother is just as protective, if not more so. In 1 Kings chapter 3, we find that episode with King Solomon. It was a good example of his wisdom, and you probably remember it. A child had died, and the two different women, they were saying that a certain baby was their own, but it's simply the word of one against the other. Yeah, they didn't have DNA testing yet. Well, in verses 24 through 27, We read this. The king said, "Give me a sword." So they brought a sword to before the king. The king said, "Divide the living child in two and give half to the one, half to the other." Then the woman whose child was the living one spoke to the king, for she was deeply stirred over her son, and said, "Oh, my lord, give her the living child and by no means kill him." But the other said, "He shall be neither mine nor yours. Divide him." Then the king said, "Give the first woman the living child, and by no means kill him. She is his mother." You see, Solomon knew that a mother would do almost anything to protect her child. Well, there's another example that I like in Matthew 15. Let's turn over there. Now, this is that time. They're in Gentile territory, and it's the episode with Jesus and the Canaanite woman. So let's read Matthew 15, 21 through 28. "Jesus went away from there and withdrew into the district of Tyre and Sidon. And a Canaanite woman from that region came out and began to cry out, saying, 'Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed.' But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and implored him, saying, 'Send her away. She keeps shouting at us.' But he answered and said, 'I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.' But she came and began to bow down before him, saying, 'Lord, help me.' And he answered and said, 'It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs.'" Now, that was a term that was often used for Gentiles, the ones who did not worship the true God. "But she said, 'Yes, Lord, but even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from their master's table.' Then Jesus said to her, 'O woman, your faith is great. It shall be done for you as you wish.' And her daughter was healed at once." Now, I think he was obviously testing her faith. But notice her dogged determination, excuse the pun, in behalf of her daughter. She was not going to take no for an answer, all right? And I sometimes find it amazing what a mother will go through for her children. I'm sure you've got your own stories, and I certainly have. And third, for their guidance. See, they're the ones who teach us the basics of life, but often so much more. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, Paul wrote to Timothy, "For I'm mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm sure that it is in you as well." Without Lois and Eunice, there probably would not have been a promising young evangelist, Timothy. Now, much of the reason that I'm a preacher is because, sure enough, I had a Lois and a Eunice. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, 14 and 15, he said, "You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Now, you remember from Ephesians 6, 4, that Paul told fathers to bring up their children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Now, why say that to fathers and not to mothers as well? Well, one is because that fathers are to be the spiritual leaders in the home. And two, because it's usually the mothers who are doing it. But the fathers need to get on board. They need to get involved as well. Before school, my mother would often read the Bible to me while I was eating breakfast. She also made sure that I went to Bible class and to VBS and all kinds of things like that. Bethel Barrett Baxter, well-known preacher back in the day, he said this in one of his sermons, "One of the greatest blessings of my own life was a childhood guided and supervised by a devout Christian mother. Each afternoon, it was her requirement that I should take an afternoon nap. But rather than an hour of rebellion, it was a favorite hour because she made it pleasant by telling in her matchless way some story from the Bible. In later years, when I was old enough to read the Bible for myself and to realize what it meant to be taught the message of the Scriptures, I was amazed to discover that there was no major story in the Scriptures that I did not already know." And so let's honor them for their gentleness, their protection, and their guidance. What I want to do now is turn our attention to the mothers in the audience and give them some encouragement. And I'd like to do so by reading something that was written back in the 1930s by Temple Bailey, and it's called A Little Parable for Mothers. And I'll try to keep my emotions out of it. The young mother set her foot on the path of life. "Is the way long?" she asked. And her guide said, "Yes, and the way is hard. And you will be old before you reach the end of it. But the end will be better than the beginning." But the young mother was so happy, and she would not believe that anything could be better than these years. So she played with her children and gathered flowers for them along the way and bathed them in the clear streams. And the sun shone on them, and life was good. And the young mother cried, "Nothing will ever be lovelier than this." Then night came, and storm, and the path was dark, and the children shook with fear and cold. And the mother drew them close and covered them with her mantle. And the children said, "Oh, mother, we are not afraid, for you are near. No harm can come." And the mother said, "This is better than the brightness of day, for I have taught my children courage." And the morning came, and there was a hill ahead, and the children climbed and grew weary, and the mother was weary. But at all times she said to the children, "A little patience, and we are there." So the children climbed, and when they reached the top, they said, "We could not have done it without you, mother." And the mother, when she lay down that night, looked up at the stars and said, "This is a better day than the last, for my children have learned fortitude in the face of hardness. Yesterday I gave them courage, today I have given them strength." And with the next day came strange clouds which darkened the earth. Clouds of war and hate and evil. And the children groped and stumbled. And the mother said, "Look up. Lift your eyes to the light." And the children looked and saw above the clouds an everlasting glory. And it guided them and brought them beyond the darkness. And that night the mother said, "This is the best day of all, for I've shown my children God." The days went on, and the weeks, and the months, and the years. And the mother grew old, and she was little and bent. But her children, they were tall and strong, and walked with courage. And when the way was rough, they lifted her, for she was light as a feather. And at last they came to a hill, and beyond the hill they could see a shining road and golden gates flung wide. And the mother said, "I have reached the end of my journey, and now I know that the end is better than the beginning, for my children can walk alone, and their children after them." And the children said, "You will always walk with us, mother, even when you have gone through the gates." And they stood and watched her as she went on alone, and the gates closed after her. And they said, "We cannot see her, but she is with us still. A mother like ours is more than a memory. She is a living presence." I believe that mothers are a wonderful gift to us from God. So, I definitely think we should give them those flowers and those cards and those gifts on Mother's Day. But every day, they deserve our obedience, respect, righteousness, and care. I've heard the advice, when looking for a spouse, one of the best things you can do is look how they treat their mother. It's been said our attitudes and actions toward our mothers tell a great deal about us. Her children rise up and bless her.